The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Yes, Brian Kennedy is with me, the singer and the musician, to place his favourite read up on the Hard Shoulder bookshelf. Last week it was the turn of the former Green Party leader. He didn't like the title former Green Party. He told me he's former nothing. He's a climate campaigner. Yeah. He's Eamon Ryan, and he placed Nostos by John Moriarty up there on the shelf. So Brian, it's good to see you.
Hey, great to see you, Mr. Cuddihy. Always good.
Yeah, listen, thanks a million for coming in to
this us. This is my subject I'm passionate about. Love reading. Well, as you know, we used to do the book club with Pat Kenny.
I remember filling in for Pat
you
once,
did,
and yourself.
And you pretended you'd read the book and it was all very funny.
Oh, well, yes, exactly.
We mortified you live on the radio. It was very good. I just love the opportunity to read books I may not have gotten to. And then now, as we know, on Bookshelf, I'm going to talk about books that I really love to read currently. The real surprise of the bunch for me was Siobhan McGowan, who people will know probably because she's the sister of Shane. But apart from that, there's many more things that are interesting about her. She wrote a beautiful book called The Graces that I read not long ago, and I left it behind in Palma with my friend Ailish Egan. Big hello to her if she's listening, in Palma, Mallorca. And I just think that she's a really lovely writer of a certain genre. She brought us back in time to an Ireland that doesn't exist anymore. You know, brocade, lowly lit, beautiful Edwardian rooms, mystery. The graces being that you have a kind of a skill where you can heal people. You have a sixth sense about people.
Okay.
Back in the day when mythology was really, really close to our hearts. And she just has a beautiful way of summing up even the atmosphere in a room that doesn't really... I'm talking about candlelight and crystal chandeliers and, you know, lowly lit kind of parts of Dublin in the early part of the last century. So a beautiful book called The Graces. I couldn't recommend it more.
And why do you think that book spoke to you? Was it that atmosphere? Is that a period in time that you're attracted to?
Yeah, because if you were to say to me, what time would you like to go back to? Can I please go back to the time when I could bump into Oscar Wilde walking around Merrion Square? You know, people like that, or indeed, you know, Markovitz, Countess Markovitz, things like that that were going on. I'd love to have been around then. And to think then that she captures kind of the spirit of that time really beautifully in the way she's written The Graces. So.
I find it hard to go back to any time before the 1960s, really.
Why is that?
Dental hygiene. I just think it really goes off the cliff the further back you go.
You're assuming that people have better hygiene these days.
Yeah.
I'm not sure it's true.
I just, you know, it just puts me off. I've been looking for the Colgate everywhere.
But I suppose hot water shower is only a recent thing, isn't it? Last 50 years.
Oh, well, okay.
There. Last 50
Another
years.
Reason. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I'm too much of a wimp. I like all the creature comforts.
Yeah.
So, you were telling me during the ad break as well, you're recording this new album as well.
That's right.
And a lot of old Irish folk music as well. So you like, that overlaps a little bit with this idea of the graces, that we've got this mythological ability, all of us.
That's
it?
Right. And also for such a tiny wee country that we are.
Yeah.
Every time I walk down Grafton Street, there's always beautiful new books by, you know, Christine Dwyer Hickey, Anne Enright, Colm Tobin, Joe O'Connor, Colin McKay, you know, McCann. It just seems to be, and no more than in the music world as well, we always have a new, you know, a very exciting artist, whether it's Shobsy or Hosier or, Soda Blonde or somebody like that. Mm. I just think that we have this ability. I think we have a romanticism about mythology also. And I think the Irish do it really, really beautifully, whether it's our actors, our poets, whatever it is. And I just love the fact that Siobhan seems to have really tapped into that world.
Yeah.
That doesn't, like I say, doesn't really exist anymore unless it's in a film or something.
Yeah. I think as well, I think it's there's less, people have less hang-ups about tapping into that world these days. I think there was maybe a period of time where we tried to, we felt that was old-fashioned or holding us back.
Do you mean we lost the run of ourselves?
We lost the run of ourselves.
Didn't we? I think this is what happened. The minute that Riverdance basically changed how suddenly Irish dancing could be sexy.
Yeah.
And then, of course, as we know, we then got kind of rich and all that. And then we really started to lose the run of ourselves.
It was great, though, wasn't it, those few years?
Absolutely. But then, of course, as you know, what must go up must come down.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that one of the greatest things about the lockdown for me was finding, being on the internet, thank God we had technology, listening to somebody like Barney McKenna from the Dubliners singing "I Wish I Had Someone to Love Me" live from Vicar Street, like an old man in his later years being vulnerable like that and saying, I'm lonely, I wish I had someone to love me. So I recorded that on Folky, my two albums ago, my 17th album. And then this one really is a kind of a close relative of that. We're working on a bunch of songs that, again, some people will know and some people might not know, and I got to record the old triangle with the Dubliners in Kilmainham Jail
a bunch
of years ago with the BBC. So, I mean, we just have this rich history, and it's not one vein. This is a many-veined history that we have here, and I'm just on one of the veins. And I think as a singer, if anybody's listening out there who's a singer, you owe it to your voice to learn these songs, to be able to get up in a pub and sing unaccompanied, or the room of your house, whatever. You know, I think that, you know, the idea that you can just get up and hold a room with one song, that's how brilliant these songs are.
Yeah.
So I'm excited as an artist to get back in the studio.
So The Grace is by Siobhan McGowan.
Yeah.
That's kind of the prime book that we're placing up in the Hardshoulder Bookshelf. But you mentioned all these other authors as well. And what struck me by the authors you mentioned there and the authors that we scribbled out when you were chatting to us in advance, they're all Irish authors.
Yeah, and you know what? I never thought about that. I just thinking about the books I read.
So that wasn't an intentional thing?
Not at all. Like when I was doing chemotherapy for my cancer, Christine Dwyer Hickey had just brought out The Narrow Land, which was an incredibly beautiful book. And so that was my companion when I went to chemo every 2 weeks, things like that. And I don't know why I've chosen all these Irish authors. I suppose because they're here now. They're, you know, they're, I mean, Colm Tobin, as you know, has just got Long Island just out as a, I suppose, a sequel to Brooklyn.
Yeah.
I just think that we've got
read it yet. Have you?
Oh, it's on. Listen, I got sent the most beautiful edition of it. So it's going to be my treat for the next trip that I do.
Okay.
So what I tend to do is I collect them, Kieran, and I go, okay, where am I going this year? What flight am I taking? Like I was just in China with Secret Garden on tour there in October. Then I was artist in residence on Inishere for the whole month of October. So I had books with me to read and I was working on projects myself. So yeah, it's been a very, I think books have become a real treat again. Don't you think? I mean, first of all, they're not cheap, the good ones.
No.
And it's something you really have to go into a beautiful bookshop and order. If you order online, that's fine too. But I think that reading has become a real treat again. I mean, are you much of a reader when you're not
working? I listen to an audiobook.
Yeah.
When I'm driving on the way home of the time. And I will always have a book on the go.
Me too.
Always. Yeah, and fiction, too. I'm not a great... If I have to consume something that's non-fiction, I tend to do that by audiobook. If I'm reading, when I get into bed at night, I want fiction. I want something to just take me away.
See, I couldn't categorize books like that. Yeah. It's either a good story or it's not. John Boyne is another person that I was going to highlight today. You know, The Heart's Invisible Furies. Also, his new little novella called Water, which is in his series of four. I mean, I don't think about a story whether it's fiction or not. I just think, is this a good story? Like, what life has this person lived?
Yeah.
You know, I just saw Maria, the new movie about Maria Callas. And again, it's amazing. Angelina Jolie is extraordinary in it. She's really extraordinary. And again, you think, well, what more do I need to know about this person? But actually, you end up learning loads. Same with fiction or fact or biography. Is it a good story or isn't it? That's all I'm interested in. I don't. All of my books on my shelves are not categorized. Same as my music. I don't have classical and pop and rock and blah, blah, blah. It's either good or it's bad. It's a good read or it's not a good read. Graham Norton is a really good read recently. He's on his fifth novel, I think, at the moment. I, as you know, have published two of my own novels. I'm now thinking about doing another one. I'm not saying too much about that because then there'll be people saying, when's it out? When's it out? I just love the idea that you can lose yourself in a world of somebody else's. Because life is so busy, isn't it? Life is
It's funny what you're saying there. Fionn O'Brien was in a couple of weeks ago talking about something else. But he made a similar point. He said people ask him something, well, what type of music do you make? And he just says, well, good music, I hope. Then he laughed and said his daughter would disagree. But, you know, his point was he doesn't see it as...
Don't
pigeonhole it.
I couldn't do that because either it moves you or it doesn't. It speaks to you or it doesn't. And like I said, the books that I've just mentioned and the book that I physically brought in because...
Yeah, what's this book? So this is what you're reading at the moment.
This is a biography and this is what I'm right in the middle of. It's by an artist called Annie DeFranco. Look her up online. Annie, A-N-I, DeFranco. And she was one of the first people I ever met. I've met her once a long time in London in The Mean Fiddler, Vince Power, rest in peace. And she was the first person I knew who had her own label, incredible guitar player, songwriter. She got herself to Carnegie Hall all on her own bat. She didn't have a record company. She didn't have a big management company behind her. So this is the story of kind of how she started off and did that. And the book is called No Walls and the Recurring Dream. I bought it online and I brought it on the most recent flight to Palma there. So I love a good, nice hardback read. I feel like I'm treating myself when it's hardback, you know.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of Kindle too, but a nice hardback book, And look at that cover.
Yeah, it's a great cover, isn't it?
And her record company is called...
People can't see it at home, but it's a great cover.
It's a brilliant cover. She's got sort of muscular arms and it's classic sort of feminist pose, I suppose. And she has her own record company called Righteous Babes. is what it's called.
Do you know what it reminds me of, that cover, her pose? It's like those getting women to work in the arms factories during the war.
Exactly.
You know that picture with
a
bandana on the head. Yeah,
pose,
exactly.
That's right. Exactly.
So were you always a big reader as a kid? Were you a great reader?
I was. I was classically entranced by the Famous Five and all of that stuff at school.
Yeah.
And then what I then started to do was I'd buy myself a dictionary. And I'd have a dictionary beside my book because every page there was a word I didn't know. I'm kind of, I've sort of educated myself in that way. So again, that's something now, of course, we have our iPhones and just, you know, look up a word. But I'm always looking up words. I love words. The word recalcitrant the other day came up in a story. And I thought, well, I don't really know what that means. You know, and it's somebody who's kind of, you know, kicks against authority.
Mm.
So I love that I come across words that I don't understand, you know. So I think that really, if you're going to be a writer, then you must read. Now, you don't have to be a writer. I'm just saying that it's a really untapped joy reading.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to be some huge, big, intimidating novel. Start small, start slow, start with short stories, you know, things like that, and then go on to novellas and then on to novels.
And when you're writing, are there particular books or other works that you can point to and say, you know, that's where I got that idea? Mm. Or does it all just go into a, you know, a big mush and you're not really sure where it comes from?
It's more of a cauldron. My brain is much more of a cauldron, because it'll either be a turn of phrase in a song that I've heard or I've overheard a conversation somewhere, and it all goes in. And it's kind of like crop rotation. If I'm not writing songs on an album and touring, like I'm always touring, I'm always gigging all the time. In fact, I have a gig this weekend.
Can I mention it, please? Absolutely.
I'm in the Hurty Loft in Dunleary this Friday night, and it's Good Friday, of course.
Yes.
So if you're not away somewhere, come along and see me. I've got tons of stories, and I do a kind of a theatre style show where I tell stories and of course sing loads of songs. I got that together in the Edinburgh Fringe Festival that I'm also playing this August as well. Have a look at my website, go to the gig page, you'll see where I'm playing near you. And I think that that all goes into, I love when I'm writing a book, because then I'm stationary, I'm just sitting at my desk and my brain does all the travelling then. So, yeah, so I'm about to go to Anna McCarrig, you know, the writer's retreat, the Tyrone Guthrie Centre, that I'm going there at the end of May for 10 days of uninterrupted concentration to see what will come out.
All right. Anyway, Hurty Loft this Friday.
This Friday night, please
this
come.
This Friday. You can
there
have
are tickets left.
Your fish dinner, and whether you're abstemious or not on Friday, you can go and enjoy it. So if people want to find the tickets, just look up your name.
Just look up my name, eventbrite.ie, or indeed The Pretty Kitchen.
Or Brian Kennedy. If you Google, you'll find the details and the links there as well. So, Brian, listen, it's been a real pleasure. The Graces by Siobhan McGowan, we're going to place up on the Hard Shoulder Bookshelf.
Oh, brilliant.
All right.
Recommend it highly.
Listen, thanks a million for coming in to us.
My pleasure.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.